Well, this is a week we're going to focus on food insecurity, and joining us to get it all kicked off this week is the North Valley Food Bank Executive Director, Sophie Albert. Good morning, Sophie.
Hi, Sophie.
Good morning, John and Robin. Thank you for having us and highlighting this important issue in our valley.
So just how serious is food insecurity here in the Flathead?
It's pretty serious. 1 in 12 of our neighbors is food insecure.
1 in 12?
Yes.
Now, when we
and
say,
if you look at children, it's 1 in 8, actually.
Okay, when we say food insecure, what are we talking about?
We're talking about people not having enough, like not knowing where the next meal will come from, basically.
Oh.
So
that's
just that, just running out of food and running out of money to buy the food.
Exactly, and just having to come to the food bank.
What is it that... what is it that's the main cause of this?
There's a lot of causes around here. It's the cost of housing. It's the cost of food. We have seen inflation happening. And you all, when you go to the grocery store, you have seen how much more expensive it is to just buy your food for the week. And everybody thought the COVID-19 pandemic really increased food insecurity. But what I believe, I think it just brought out what already happened in our communities. People are living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. And then during the pandemic, we really saw how just like one little other piece of issues can just like kick you over the
domino effect.
My gosh, rents and mortgage payments are up, and now taxes are up, which forces mortgage and payments up. And I guess there's only so much money you have to work with as a household, and you got to pay the rent. You got to pay the mortgage. There's just those aren't things you can slough off. So I guess food is something that we can maybe try to live without.
Yeah, and then heating bills in the winter too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Transportation as well, gas costs, and just getting to a place where you can buy food for a lot of communities is an issue.
And the, one of the things that you guys do is serve a lot of the rural communities, particularly to the north and west of us.
We do. That's right. We do have our services in Whitefish, and a lot of our rural neighbors come to Whitefish as well. But we run a mobile pantry up in Trigo and in Olney, and we actually see almost 200 households there every single week. And then we also deliver to rural pantry partners in Yak, Libby, Troy, and Eureka, and help our friends at Fast Blackfeet and Browning just with transportation.
This is a gargantuan task you have here, just reaching out to folks. And And with one thing you say, you've got the mobile center, so people don't have to spend what little money they have left driving into town.
That's right. Some people don't even have the money left to drive into town. And then there's nowhere to get food. In some of those communities, the closest grocery store is more than 40 miles away.
Oof. All right. So that kind of helps us understand the problem. And I guess when you're to a situation where... the only thing that you can scrimp on is food. It puts your family in a very difficult position, you know, particularly in weather like this. If you're not eating well, you're going to get sick.
You're going to get sick. And if you have little kids, they'll get sick too.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the food banks and what you can do to help these folks.
So what we do, we have our free grocery store so people can come in and shop for their food for free, and they can really pick and choose what they need. It's another way of helping people with transportation costs. Like they can just come once a month if they can't afford to drive four times a month, for example, and they can really load up on food. That's why we don't have any requirements on how much people can take, how often they can come, and we also don't have eligibility requirements, which means anybody is welcome at our food bank in Whitefish.
You know, there's food and then there's food. I know that when I was in the military, they fed us something we called chow, which I guess it would it qualified as food, but it sure didn't taste very good, and it looked even worse. But somehow we managed to choke it down.
K rations from a different war.
Well, that's C rations from a different war. There's no question of that. Those were in cans. But we're talking about healthy food here.
We are, yes. We work with a lot of local farmers. We do drive down to Missoula once a week to get fresh, good food from the Montana Food Bank Network because they can provide that for free to us through the TFEP program, which is a federal program. So driving down to Missoula, filling up our truck with fresh food for us and Whitefish, but also for our rural neighbors, is really increasing the amount of good, nutritious food for all of our neighbors in these rural communities.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we're not talking about about filet mignon and all of that, but we do have some good protein and meat products.
Yes, we do have some good donated meat products actually from Montana. There's the producer partnership down in Livingston, and they process meat for food banks across the state. And we actually process wild game on site, as you know, so that's a really good protein as well. And we also purchase locally beef from Montana ranchers.
So we really have an opportunity to help people now. What do they have to do?
So we are currently going to our year-end fundraising campaign, and we actually have to raise $465,000 in this year-end fundraising campaign until December 31st to be able to continue providing this amount of food assistance that we are currently working with, because we have seen such a significant increase in customers.
Oh, my gosh. So I want to step back one step here, and we'll get to the fundraising part of it in a minute. But my question really was more, what do people have to do to get food from your food bank?
I see. Yeah. People just have to come to Whitefish during our opening hours. We're open on Wednesday from noon to 6 and on Thursday from 10 to 1 and from 3 to 5. So there's a wide window where you can come and shop and just show up, and you have to fill out a little sheet as an intake form, and then you can get food from us.
That easy.
Doesn't sound too difficult, John.
It's not, but it's hard to step into a food bank, just like this initial step. So we're really trying to be welcoming, friendly. Yeah. We have a friendly, open, colorful space, and we also help with other resources.
Right. Are people kind of sheepish when they come in the first time?
The first time, people often try to apologize. They're like, oh, I'm just here because, and I'm like, you don't have to apologize. There's like any one of us can be in a situation where they have to walk into a food bank and get food from us, and that's okay.
All right. So now on the other end of this, this doesn't come cheap.
No, it doesn't come cheap. So yeah, we're running our biggest fundraising campaign, as I just mentioned. And really, we're trying to get all community members involved. So no matter what your budget is, you can help us. If it is like picking up a few additional items at the grocery store while you do your holiday shopping, like cranberry sauce or hams, and bring those over, that's great. But if you are fortunate and you have a big budget, we also look for big donors during this time of the year.
So how close are you to that budget goal you're looking at?
We have raised around 150,000, so we're almost a third there, and then we're still ways to go.
Yeah. Does this include the money that you were able to raise during the Great Fish?
It does not, no. So it's the Great Fish, and then it's the year-end campaign. Those are our two biggest fundraising campaigns over the year.
But this one now is we're up to the end of the year, and you got to raise
$465,000. Yeah. You know, almost $500,000.
Wow. So how are we doing that?
We are reaching out to our neighbors like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you all raising awareness. And just like people can come in and see what they're interested to support. Like there is ways, like for example, if somebody is specifically interested in supporting kids snacks for the full year, it costs around $15,000 for the year to provide good, healthy kids snacks to all of the children coming through the food bank. So if that's something you're interested in, come by and this is an option. Or if you are specifically interested in supporting us purchasing local fresh food from our farmers, that could be like a $10,000 donation. But there's also smaller amounts. If you donate $100, that provides 48 meals to your neighbors in need. So that's pretty significant as well.
Yeah, it sure is. Wow. And so I guess that's probably the biggest challenge you guys have is just keeping the money coming in, because you got to have you get donations of food and you get money and you get food from the state food bank. But, you know, sometimes you just got to go shopping.
Yeah, and we purchase a lot of food actually coming from the Montana Food Bank Network. Every 6 weeks, we put in a big order, and that's around $25,000 each time. Mm-hmm. So every 6 weeks, just through that channel of food.
Wow. Now, in the hours you're open and dispensing food, are you fully staffed or are you still looking for staff?
We're fully staffed. Okay. We currently, to run this operation, you actually need a lot of staff. So we currently have 9 staff members by now. It used to be just 2, but with the significantly like larger amount of food assistance needed in this valley, we just really needed to stock up. And besides that, we need more than 70 volunteers every single week. So,
there is a volunteer need.
Yeah. There's a large volunteer need as well. Yeah. So if you don't have it in your budget to support us with monetary donations or shop for us, volunteering is fun. You're like, you meet community members. You create your own little community. I love seeing our shifts preparing the grocery store. Mm-hmm. The ladies have so much fun stocking the store, making it look nice. Then there's opportunities in the grocery store, checking people in, checking people out, helping to box, helping it carry to their car. It's all about building community and helping one another.
All right. You've got a real challenge ahead of you, and you've got a good handle on it.
Hopefully. It's really like community builds community. It's not mm-hmm. only us. It's all of us making sure that all of our neighbors are fed this holiday season and have a full holiday table for their children. I have mm-hmm. a little 16 months old, and I just want her to enjoy this time of the year. And I want every kid in our valley to just sit at the table and enjoy the magic of the season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gosh, this is...
Thanks, Sophie.
Yeah, yeah. We really appreciate all you're doing. And all this week, we're going to focus on the needs here in the community and make sure that folks understand that, you know, this food insecurity thing is for real.
It is, and it can happen to any of us.
You know, the other thing that I wanted to point out, too, in our discussion this week is it's an international problem. We have countries that are in such bad shape now, and conference now, the COP28 conference, is trying to look at some of this. But we'll have a country that's completely wiped out, a small country wiped out by a flood or by a tornado or hurricane or a volcanic eruption, and all of a sudden their ability to raise food is gone.
Yeah, so we have the resources, not only in our country, but worldwide, to mm-hmm. feed everyone that lives on this planet, right?
Yeah.
But we just need to step out and help one another. I come from a background in disaster management and have lived all over the world and have seen those cases. I've seen a big volcano eruption happening and people stepping up, which is great. It's always, if the local community can step up and help one another, that's so much easier than like a foreign entity coming in. If like neighboring countries, neighboring states, or in our small Montana here, neighboring communities like we do in rural Lincoln County can come and help one another, it's so much easier. And community-based assistance is always the best.
Sophie Albert, thank you so much for all you, your staff, and volunteer do in helping us feed the Flathead.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sophie.